Wow, that was a loud one. Hey, Cal Banyan here. Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, Etc. Once again with L. Ron Ferguson. If you're watching this anywhere else except calbanyan.com, you want to go there right now because right below this video, right down there, we've got additional graphics, text, and all that kind of stuff to make this more valuable to you. All right, let me introduce L. Ron. You guys know L. Ron. He helps me with my classes. He supervises the practice sessions. He also teaches like some of the instant rapid induction part of the course and just other things I haven't filled in for. He's a one percenter. He sees more clients here at our center than anybody else. Quite capable. What an expert. How you doing, Al Ryan?
I'm doing good, Cal. Thanks for asking. And it's good to be back. What are we talking about today, Cal?
We're going to call this one Hypnosis 101.
All right. Maybe I'll learn something. No, actually, no, I won't.
All right. Hey, so you know what? I got my little notepad here, and I'm thinking what we sometimes get is some really basic questions sent in, like, what is hypnosis? And I'm thinking that, you know, let's talk about that, because even for people who've been in the profession for a long time, there's a lot of confusion about what hypnosis is. On that episode a while back where we were looking at YouTube, I was looking at some other videos on YouTube about hypnosis, and there's some crazy ideas out there about what hypnosis is. So, L. Ron, why don't you, please read that definition that we use in class for hypnosis.
Okay, hypnosis is a magical... Oh, no, wait, sorry, that was the wrong definition.
Hypnosis the one that we use in class, is like fairy dust,
yeah, right?
That
was the other hypnosis training I took. No, the one that we use in class and the one that I like the best is that hypnosis is a heightened state of suggestibility such that the suggestions given are accepted as being true and affect the beliefs, habits, and perceptions and behaviors of an individual in varying degrees according to the depth of hypnosis established. In short, hypnosis is a heightened state of suggestibility. That's the most important part.
Good, good. Go ahead and read on down to that second paragraph and then the third.
Yeah, excellent. Deeper levels of hypnosis enable the hypnotized individual to experience greater hypnotic phenomenon, with light states being able to create catalepsy by suggestion, and deeper states allowing the individual to experience amnesia, anesthesia, and hallucinations. So generally, there are several types of hypnosis. There's naturally occurring hypnosis, there's heterohypnosis, self-hypnosis, waking suggestion that's similar to a placebo, and that's that.
Okay, we've got quite a plan for this episode for you, and we're going to talk about what hypnosis is, what suggestibility is, and also some bad words in hypnosis, some ideas about what hypnosis is not, and what some typical experiences that occur in hypnosis. So, now, when we define hypnosis, we use it as a heightened state of suggestibility, which puts us into having to do something else. We need to define what suggestibility is. Will you do that for me, Elron?
Define what suggestibility is?
Yes.
It's the extent to which a person is able to accept suggestion, okay, which varies according to one's state of mind. And the greater the suggestibility that an individual is experiencing, then the greater the effect of the suggestions offered will have upon that person's perception of reality. Okay, so in hypnosis, which is an altered state of consciousness, one can reach high levels of suggestibility. And in this altered state, suggestions can profoundly affect perceptions, including amnesia, anesthesia, and both positive and negative hallucination. So when one's in a heightened state of suggestibility, the individual is in hypnosis or hypnotic state.
Good. So, gosh, here we got hypnosis definition relying on suggestibility. And then when we talk about suggestibility, we've got two main kinds of suggestibility. One that never gets talked about. One is normal waking suggestibility. Everybody has a certain inherent natural state of suggestibility. And when we take someone into hypnosis, we expand or increase that ability to be suggestible. Anything you want to add to that, Elron?
No, just that, there's that arbitrary level of suggestibility that everybody has. Always. That goes from higher to lower, even sometimes depending on who you're talking to or what kind of state they're in at the time. We could talk about that for days.
Yeah. Now, one thing, we don't use the word suggestibility when we're talking to clients because clients get confused between gullibility and suggestibility. Can you kind of tease that out for the audience?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, some words that I like to use sometimes are, well, it increases your receptivity because, I mean, you say, oh, well, you're more suggestible. I mean, the person, you know, being told that you're suggestible, I mean, right off the bat, how does that sound? When we have a history of seeing hypnosis in Hollywood and all that kind of stuff, and you see people, you know, following suggestions by hypnotists and doing wild and crazy things, it just gives that automatic response that when you tell somebody that they're suggestible, they're going to associate it with things like that. Does that make sense, Cal?
Yes. And one of the things about gullibility means really more like easily fooled or easily manipulated, where suggestibility in hypnosis is a state that the person is entering into so that something can be accomplished, so that they can accept suggestions. And the suggestibility that occurs in hypnosis is one such that if they did not like the suggestion, they could easily reject the suggestion or emerge from that level of suggestibility. How's that sound for you, Alan?
Sounds great, Cal.
All right, good. So I want to move on. So if that's what hypnosis is, do you want to add anything to that, Oran?
No, I think that's it. Why don't we move on? I'm excited.
So hypnosis is not, and, you know, I got this from some of the YouTube videos. I get it. I teach the Week of Power, which is specifically for people who have been trained, certified somewhere else, and they can be experienced hypnotherapists. And some of the crazy ideas they have about what hypnosis is, for example, hypnosis is not relaxation. You can be relaxed and not be in a heightened state of suggestibility. So, and I was just watching a video. Oh, once I realized that hypnosis was just a state of relaxation, and I'm going, well, you know, no, that's not it. You can be relaxed and not be in a heightened state of suggestibility. Anything you want to add to that, Elwin?
Oh, gosh. What a soapbox, Cal. And this is taught all the time that hypnosis is mutually exclusive with alpha brainwave activity. You know, if you're in beta, which is, you know, highly alert, the next level underneath that is alpha, and then theta, which is a little more sleepy, and then delta is in deep sleep. Alpha brainwave is slightly less. They say that children are primarily in alpha brainwave frequency, and that if you're ever relaxed, that's synonymous with being easily suggestible or receptive or hypnotic or whatever it is. And that, I think, that Cal will back me up on this, is kind of where the whole relaxation is hypnosis, hypnosis is relaxation thing came from, which is where they did a lot of old school inductions back in the day. They put an electroencephalogram, an EEG on them, and they go, oh, look at that. We just did an induction, and now they're an alpha. So hypnosis is relaxation, and they must be feeling tingly and deep. That's where that comes from. But yeah, it's like you can be in hypnosis and be running on the beach. We always say that you can scream somebody hypnosis if you have to. It's just that relaxation is a lot more of a fun way to get there. Isn't that true, Cal?
Well, that depends on your perspective. I personally like yelling people into hypnosis. Sleep! That kind of thing.
Right.
Hey, well, now another thing that I hear all the time is trance is the same as hypnosis. The NLP people are really big into using, oh, well, I tranced them, or they were in trance, and so I did that. And really, trance, all hypnosis includes trance, but not all trance includes hypnosis. So if you're, trance is really where you're fixated just on one object or one idea, and just being focused on that one thing, it tends to perpetuate the focus. So you could be in that state, but not be in a heightened state of suggestibility. Now, for hypnosis to occur, though, you need to have this kind of idealistic kind of, one of the words that they almost changed hypnosis to was monoideism. And it has to do with this focused on one thing. And without that focus, people will tend to lose the depth of suggestibility. So trance can exist without hypnosis, but hypnosis can't exist without that trance-like focus. Anything you want to add to that, Elron? Because you're more into that NLP stuff than I am.
Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting on that because there's the whole trance argument. Yeah, like everything is trance, and I see where they're coming from, but I still agree with this information a lot more that they're... It's not this totally equally synonymous word. I mean, in that park, okay, in that methodology, there is not necessarily different levels of depth that they're operating from. To your average NLP person, I might get hate mail for this, anything can be trance. If you just imagine yesterday, that takes you into a state of trance. If you just look into peripheral vision, that equals a state of trance. Whether or not that's highly suggestible, nobody knows. That, once again, goes back to the foundations of trance and hypnosis and alpha brainwave activity being totally fused and maybe an antiquated understanding of hypnosis. But yeah, trance isn't hypnosis. It just so happens that trance happens in hypnosis, but it's different, like we just mentioned.
Beautiful. Good, good. I'm going to move on to hypnosis is not magic, and it is not like a spell.
Oh, man.
See, there you go. It's the truth. And there's no Santa Claus, no Easter Bunny, and hypnosis isn't a spell. It's a normal, naturally occurring state of mind that can be brought about on purpose through the use of a hypnotic induction. But, I tell you, there's a lot of magical thinking out there about hypnosis and that somehow the hypnotist is like a sorcerer or a witch or something like that, which I'm going to talk a little bit more about that when we get into bad hypnosis words. Anything? Have you ever had a client that really thought it was very magical or witchcraft or anything like that?
I haven't had the thought. Well, by the time they get to my office, they hopefully don't think that anymore. And if they do, for some reason, think that I have the power to make them do stuff, I want to get rid of that belief as soon as possible. Clients are always in control, you know, but that's something that you definitely want to talk about on the phone, because you'll get those calls when they call up and they say, hey, can you make me do this? Or can you make me forget somebody? Or can you, What's the other example? Can you make me stop smoking? Or somebody always has a story of my Aunt Sue or whatever that didn't even want to quit smoking, but she went to a hypnosis thing, some group hypnosis session, and she quit smoking, and so it made her quit smoking. It was like magic. And like magic and magic are two different things. I know I'm sort of stretching the boundaries of what you just said, Cal, but... I haven't had anybody personally that thought it was magic, but they did think that they would be under my control, like a magician or a sorcerer, and I got rid of that belief as soon as possible by saying, okay, close your eyes, take a deep breath, let it out, and now stand in your chair and quack like a duck. And when they didn't do it, I said, well, why didn't you do that? Why didn't you do that? I'm a hypnotist. And they go, well, because I didn't want to. I go, well, exactly. And if they actually did stand in their chair and quack like a duck, I'd be pretty concerned. And then I'd ask them to do something else ridiculous, like stand in the corner on your head and recite the national anthem. And if they did that, I'd be really concerned. But, you know, that's never happened and probably never will.
Yeah, I know what you do. They need to say, okay, why don't you take out your checkbook? And you're starting to feel very generous.
Right.
And the more generous you feel, the better you feel. And the better you feel, the bigger this check is going to be. Okay. All right. Yeah, I've run into this once in a while. With people who think that that hypnosis is magic, I'm going to take out my hypno wand and touch them on the head. And the problem with letting that kind of belief stand is it relieves them from all responsibility of having a result. It's like all up to you. And really, the good hypnosis and good hypnotherapy has done something that It's joint. It's like a dance. It's something you do together. The hypnotist knows techniques and procedures, processes, but the ultimate result really is up to the client to obtain that result. So it's not magic. It's not trance. It's not relaxation, and it's not sleep. You want to talk about that a little bit, Elron?
About how it's not any of those things?
Not sleep.
Oh, it's not sleep, that specifically. Yes. And this goes back to, oh, yay, I get to be on a soapbox after all. A lot of hypnotists will use the words wake up in their script for emerging a client. And wake up implies that they were asleep in the first place. We always say in our pre-talk, listen, when I say sleep, it's not referring to the type of sleep you sleep at night. It's just referring to eyes closed, go deeply relaxed. If you fall asleep, you'll miss the whole thing. So stay awake no matter how many times your hypnotist or hypnotherapist says the word sleep. Wow, I think I've watched your pre-talk video too many times, Cal.
Well, as you're talking about that, it's a good segue into where I have bad words in hypnosis. And so one is sleep. Now, you'll say, gosh, Cal, I've seen you do hypnotic inductions where you say the word sleep. But just like Elron said, if we are planning using the word sleep with a client, we always tell them that if we are going to use the word sleep, it does not mean normal, natural sleep. It just means look and act as if you're asleep. Go deeply relaxed with your eyes closed. So we don't want to use the word sleep. We don't want to use the word under, because under is like under a spell, and it implies magical thinking. And even if you don't use the word sleep in the induction, beware of using the words wake up. When you emerge someone, don't say in a moment, count from one to three, when I get to three, you'll wake up, one, two, three, because they weren't asleep, and they will know that they're not asleep. And if you end the session with something like that, it can weaken everything you've done, because they'll think, gosh, I wasn't asleep. He told me to wake up, so that means I should have been asleep. That means everything that we just did isn't going to work. And that thought will help to undo everything. Right, Elron?
Yeah, or worse, they could think, maybe I was asleep. See, it's bad both ways. Because if they think they were asleep, then, I don't know, that could be bad too. Wouldn't you say, Cal?
Yep. Hey, here's another bad word, but we're stuck with it. And that is deeper. People don't really go deeper into hypnosis. Like, and that kind of comes from the idea of sleep, right? Go into a deep sleep or sleep very deeply. People don't go deeper into hypnosis, but they go more suggestible. But it's just become part of the culture that we understand that if the hypnotist says in a moment, count from one down to five, as I do, go much deeper. What they mean is go into a more suggestible state. But that doesn't sound right, does it? In a moment, I'm going to count from one down to five. And when I get to five, I want you to become much more suggestible. So we're kind of stuck with the word sleep. All right. We just got a couple of minutes. Let's knock off these couple of things. Typical experiences include, and we'll talk about that. We want to do that? Start that off, Elron?
Yeah, sure. So typical experiences in hypnosis include profound relaxation, obviously, because that's a fun way to get there, right? Maybe some tingling sensations, maybe fluttering eyelids, and some dissociation. I have an interesting story about that fluttering eyelid thing. Someone said to me, they go, oh, well, I can flutter my eyelids without any hypnosis. And I go, oh, okay, well, let's see it right here. And they took a deep breath, they let it out, they really started to, you know, as it seemed to me from the outside. Now, I'm making an assumption here. It seemed to me that they were taking themselves into a hypnotic state. This person was trained as a hypnotherapist. They'd done a lot of self-hypnosis. They say, I can do that with zero hypnosis. And you can't fake that. You can't fake that type of eye flutter. And they were having to go into hypnosis to even do that. What are your thoughts on that, Cal?
That sounds pretty good. I've never heard anyone challenging it like that, but it sounds like it worked for you.
It was funny. It was really funny.
All right. Oh, I see one last thing I want to get in here, and that is hypnosis equals suggestibility. Hypnosis doesn't feel like anything. And so just a couple bullet points I got here. We're getting a lot into this episode. Hypnosis doesn't feel like anything because really, what would a state of heightened suggestibility feel like? Now, it tends to feel like relaxation if you use an induction where you go relax, relax, relax over and over in one form or the other. Then when they get there, they're going to feel relaxed, but it's not required. It can feel stiff and rigid. When we get someone into hypnosis, we could do some overt testing like arm catalepsy, where we have their arms stick out or their eyelids locking closed. And that would be an example of hypnosis, not feeling like being relaxed, but feeling like being tensed. Hypnosis can make you feel like when you were 5 years old and you were riding your bicycle, or it can even have you taste ice cream that you had for the first time when you were 2 or 3 years old. So hypnosis can feel like a hallucination, like an age regression. So what's one of the things we got to let our clients know is that when you go into hypnosis, you may have some of these other feelings like relaxation, tingling, feeling disassociated, fluttering eyelids, warm sensation on the body, something like that. But it's not required. They're kind of depending on the individual, and it depends on what you're doing at any particular time. All right, I'm done. Anything else you want to add to that, Elron?
I think you have completed the cycle, Cal. That sounds good to me.
All right, good. Wrap it up. Tell them your website.
All right, website safeeffectivehypnosis.com. I encourage you to email me at elronhypnosis@gmail.com. If there's questions you want to ask me, I'd be happy to answer them and connect with you on the professional level. Please check out our courses. Cal will give you the information on that in a moment. I strongly encourage you to take action to learn hypnosis and to build your hypnosis practice. When you take action, you get a result, and then you can make adjustments. Remember that everything counts. Thanks so much for watching this video, and I'll see you on the next episode.
All right. Thank you, Elron. This is Cal Banyan. Make sure you check out hypnosiscenter.com for my latest training schedule and all the other good hypnosis goodies we got on there. We've got a class coming up, the NGH-approved Banyan Hypnosis Certification Super Course with 5-path and 7-path training. That's all the advanced stuff. July and October, and then we've got the Week of Power, which is a 7-day version for people who are already certified, and that's coming up in May, and I anticipate we'll also do one in August at the NGH convention. We'll have more information coming to you very soon. That's it. Cal Banyan, signing off.
This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and the Banyan Hypnosis Center for Training and Services, Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without permission. For contact information, go to www.hypnosiscenter.com.